2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good Wednesday out there to you in the interwebs. This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST to get yourself off 20% off each month of your subscription. Once again, that's promo code PODCAST at DFSArmy.com. I'm Al Walsh, back with you on the podcast for what seems like the first time in a long time. Joined, as always, again with Keith Hall. You can find us on Twitter there. I'm at 14a.walsh. Keith over at Boomers DFS Daddy. Keith, welcome back from the Christmas break.
Yeah, it's been a couple days since we've been on the pod. I think our last day was Friday, so it's been a nice little four-day break for us. We went at it hard on Monday, but you were kind of incapacitated. And then I just kind of, I took the day off for the most part. I popped in a $4 lineup and got weird with it and left $2,500 on the table. Still almost cash, four bucks. Just taking a single bullet shot at 100K wasn't bad. Speaking of that 100K tournament,
oh yeah!
Congrats to LaMarcus Aldridge, who
now that is not the combination of Spurs big men.
No, it is not the combination of Spurs.
They make enough money.
Yeah. Congrats to him. He popped off 125,000, I believe it was last night. Took home the clutch shot. Took home third in the clutch shot. So a clean 120 just off of two entries, really good guy. He's probably been our biggest winner, in NBA this season so far. So, congrats to him again. I didn't want to throw it out there in the channel or anything because I didn't want to mess up his mojo. So,
Now it's out there though.
So
Now everybody's gonna be asking for $5 here and there, and asking if they want to donate to the Human Fund. I don't know if any Seinfeld watchers out there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Doesn't exist.
We expect our 10% finder's fee as well.
Absolutely.
So it's just kind of one of those things that I'm a real big thing about karma and stuff like that, and I just didn't want to kind of ruin it for him.
Because you didn't ruin it for him.
No kidding. I guess he kind of didn't know what was going on, and he was a little incapacitated trying to sweat that one out. So
nice. I gotta look up that incapacitated. I haven't used that in a while. But Monday I was back home, so it was good to see everybody and there for Christmas and whatnot. I hit the Brooklyn Nets game. Got to see a Randy Foy buzzer beater, so that was pretty cool.
Always strive to see Randy Foy buzzer beaters. Those are great things in life.
I took my little cousin to that one, and that was his first ever NBA game. So now there's just a huge high standard to live up to.
Yeah.
Alan, how come there wasn't a buzzer beater in this one? How come the score wasn't 120 to 118? I don't know, man. You caught it on a good day. All right, let's get to the NBA slate in this one. We've got, I believe, 10 games in this one. But we do start it out in Washington. Indiana Pacers are there. Wizards, 4.5-point favorites in this one, -200 on the money line. 213.5 on the total for this one, one of the higher ones on the slate. These two teams are similar in the fact that they get their production done all across the box score, but who are we zeroing in on this one?
This one's weird. It's got a high total, yet I don't have a lot of interest here. I mean, I guess John Wall's always in play when he's at home. The problem is his price is getting up there, and I don't know if today he's not Russell Westbrook. You know, his floor is not 55 with a upside of 70. His floor is 35 with an upside of 70, which is fine if we know that we're going to get closer to that upside. But today with guys like Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, John Wall, with Chris Paul and Damian Lillard both questionable, I don't know if I really want to spend a lot of money at the position today.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at it as a whole, just more of like a game-to-game sort of thing. But, yeah, I know, look, John Wall at home anytime can do the dirty. You know, we've seen this plenty of times throughout. But, again, just as I mentioned sooner or earlier with this Wizards team, anybody can really get it done on any given night. For me, I think I might look more towards a Bradley Beal. And I know that, again, Marcin Gortat, not exactly our high upside guy, but I feel very confident in him tonight to possibly get to that 40-point mark over there on FanDuel.
I think Gortat's great for cash games. I just don't know if I really, really want to spend that type of money on him in tournaments. Just because he doesn't really have any sort of, like...
massive upside.
Exactly. I mean, what are you hoping for with Marcin Gortat? You're hoping for maybe 40?
If he did 45, I would do backflips off my coffee table.
Yeah, so...
I'd have to put it weight down, but yeah.
I mean, you're really, really hoping that he drops that 40, and that allows you to...
Ooh. Well, here's the thing. Only 6,000 on FanDuel, so I think that's pretty generous for this matchup.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's not a good matchup or it's a good price or anything like that. I'm just saying for tournaments, I don't know if I really want to go there.
Okay.
I mean, it's very, very fair difficult enough to pay 6,000 for Marcin Gortat when I can go get Cody Zeller versus Atlanta for 52. I can go get Robin Lopez versus your Nets for 47, you know? It's difficult. It really, really is. Now, for cash games, I think he's a great play because you can sit there and say, okay, I need 35 minutes and I need 25 to 35 fantasy points. Who is going to get me that? Well, without paying an arm and a leg, Marcin Gortat's probably your most consistent guy right there. Although, yeah. one could make an argument for Mason Plumlee lately. So it's kind of a little... I don't play Marcin Gortat.
Okay. Maybe he'll give us a reason for you to play him.
Yeah.
But I like the spot for the price.
Okay. You're going to have to talk me down to it because right now I'm completely off.
So I've done it before.
I know you have. I know you have, and it's worked out before. So maybe you've got a little bit of insight that you can give me throughout the day, and we shall pass that on to the listeners. Yeah, we shall pass that on to the VIP guys as the day goes on. So what's your thought about Otto Porter here? Because we were on him last game versus Milwaukee where he just went absolute bananas. And if you look at his home road splits, they're kind of significant. This whole Washington team is kind of significant. So I've got a little bit of interest in guys like Bradley Beal and Otto Porter in tournaments. I'm just afraid that a lot of people are going to chase Otto Porter because of that big game. And I don't want to be caught up in the inflated ownership because of it.
That's typically how it goes with a lot of these Wizards. But, yeah, I mean, if he draws the PG-13 matchup, I'm going to have a lot less interest. I'm sure he will. I don't see why he wouldn't. So, yeah, I'm not going to be on Otto Porter tonight. That's why
he did put up 34 in Indiana. Let's see here, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, on the 19th, he put up 34.8, and at 5,800, that's not going to kill you. I'm looking here. Yeah.
Well, were there any circumstances there on Monday night where Otto had that many points and rebounds? 41 minutes.
Doesn't look like it, because I mean, Bradley Beal still played 30 minutes. John Wall, he still played 38 minutes. I mean, it looks like a pretty even rotation. Let me look at Markieff here, because that could have something to do with it. Markieff played 27 minutes. Now, he sucked, but he still played 27 minutes. What about Kelly Oubre? Oubre played 19 minutes. I mean, it looks like it was a normal rotation type game. So, let me look here, because we've been saying that, one of these times it's going to come back and bite us, but, let's take a look what Paul George's real plus minuses defensive wise. Paul George is at a 1.24 real plus minus, so it's kind of a neutral matchup. So I don't know. Maybe a little bit of interest, but it's not going to be a ton. I just, especially with maybe an inflated ownership, I don't think I want to test the theory.
All right. Now, both power forwards, I mean, it's tough to trust Thad Young or Markieff Morris, but we have seen time and time again, you know, power forwards just do the damn thing against both of these squads. So I think for the depressed price, either guy could work here.
Yeah.
We'll have to dig a little more into the matchups, but as to see who will probably be the better one, but I think it could definitely work. How about, I mean, Jeff Teague again, look time and time again with Monta Ellis.
Absolutely.
And,
well,
yeah,
Monta Ellis is supposed to play.
Okay.
He's been upgraded
the questionable tag on him
instead of doubtful or out. So I'm assuming he's going to be playing. But, yes, absolutely, 100%, all the Markieff. Or, sorry, all the Jeff Teague. Because it's probably, he's just, like, I think the fact that, you know, he was kind of chalky last game. And all of a sudden, you know, he dudded. I think that's going to really, really, really lower his ownership percentages a lot today. So 7,500 going against John Wall. He put up 46.8 in his last game against these guys. Now, that was at home, but Jeff Teague's been pretty consistent as far as home road splits this year. It's not nearly as drastic as some other players in the NBA. So I mean, he was one of the very, very, very first people that I popped into my lineup today.
So Indiana got their ass kicked on Monday night at Chicago.
No kidding.
No, I wasn't sure, just because I was at the game. I really didn't get to see much.
Yeah,
going on
that
the
game was
that
utter and complete domination by the Chicago Bulls for a good 40 minutes of it. I think Indiana had an 8-game spurt or 8 to 10 minute spurt where they actually put up some fight, but. It was not pretty by any stretch of the imagination. They just looked completely out of sync, and it was almost like it was one of those okay, let's just mail this one in, and then all of a sudden it just. I mean, it was not as close as the 85-90 score made it. I mean, it was 28-19 after the first quarter.
Gotcha.
Which is not a lot. It's only a 9-point game, but I mean, it was a lot. The game was a lot worse than what the score showed, I should say.
Gotcha. All right, let's take it to Charlotte. We got the Charlotte Hornets at the Orlando Magic in this one. Hornets 3.5-point favorites, -160 on the money line, with a total of 202.5. A couple of injuries to note here. Marco Bellinelli will be out for the Hornets, and we've got Evan Fournier listed as questionable, so that could shake a couple things up here. But where are you looking first?
If I were to ask you what Elfrid Payton's usage rate is right now, what would you say?
Without Fournier?
Yeah, how many minutes he's, well, we know that the Evan Fournier news, even though that that pops off with, you know, everybody's like, well, let's play Jody Meeks because he's the one starting. We said this, what was it, on Friday, I believe it was? Look, just because Jody Meeks, and we've kind of preached it all year, you know, just because guys are getting the start. Now, yes, Jody Meeks, he's put up 20-plus in his last two games, you know, starting, you know, and that's good. But now his price is not minimum price anymore. It's $4,400. And we've talked about, you know, just because a guy is getting the start, quote unquote, he's a good play, but he might not be the best play for that team. We've talked about it. Guys like, you know, Elfrid Payton and Serge Ibaka actually have been getting a lot higher usage, you know, now that Fournier is not in there. And if Fournier is out, I'm going back to the well in Elfrid Payton and Serge Ibaka. I can't see changing it up, especially going against a team in Charlotte who, yeah, they're going to have to put up some points, but it's not like they're great. They play great team defense, but it's not like Kemba Walker's great individual.
Right.
And it's not like, you know, the Charlotte front court is anything we really try to avoid. So, yeah, I've got way too much interest in this game for it being a 203 total.
Yeah, now granted it was, you know, against the Lakers there right before Christmas, but, you know, we saw Payton do his thing there with Fournier out of the lineup. Just
still
tremendous game.
Perform bad against Memphis at 32.
Nope. Again, Monday, didn't see much around the league. You're going to see somebody step into that role. So, yeah, obviously I'm going to like Payton over Meeks. I don't care what the price is on the guy. But especially Serge Ibaka, I like that play too. We've been able to attack power forwards on Charlotte pretty much all season. So I don't mind that Ibaka play. You know, Ibaka was a guy that I think we all saw in the preseason is, wow, I mean, this is something really big going on here. And then he let us down a lot of times early there in the regular season. But there have been plenty of times where he's been popping off lately. And like, damn it, you know, we should have been there. We should have been there with you, Splurge. But
yeah, we're back. See, one of the funny things is we were sitting here like, you know, we hop on a guy and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, they put up a dud. You know, well, human instinct is like, oh, well, that guy screwed me. I'm not going to play him. Well, no, don't, because they've been pretty consistent. They're going to have bad games every once in a while. And that's where, you know, one of the commandments is thou shalt not fall into recency bias, and we shall capitalize off of other people's biases, is because now all of a sudden, you know, guys that have put up duds in the last game when they're chalk, now all of a sudden, now you get more options around that price tag, which you have with Serge Ibaka at power forward, and you have with guys like, you know, you have with some of these guys. I mean, come on, are you going to pay $6,300 for Serge Ibaka or $6,800 for Jabari Parker or $7,000 for Nikola Jokic? I mean, most people are going to go and buy and try to find the money for Nikola Jokic or Jabari Parker. So Serge Ibaka is going to go a little bit overlooked. So, I mean, there's ways that you can kind of capitalize off of these things, and I absolutely love it. I love Serge Ibaka tonight. I think he's a great play. He's kind of thriving in this role with the Orlando Magic and putting up a lot more shots and kind of being that leader, instead of the third wheel to Durant and Westbrook like he was with the Thunder.
Sure. All right, so I think there's some other decent spots here too. I mean, I think we kind of briefly touched on Kemba Walker, Nick Batum. They should certainly do fine as well tonight. Even, you know, Vucevic from Orlando could do pretty well here as well. So
I think this is a Bismack Biyombo game, actually.
Oh, you do you?
Yeah, because it's going to be a little bit slower in pace. Yes, I know the total's still over 200, but it's going to be a little bit slower in pace. Now, he doesn't have the upside as Vucevic. But they're really, unless Bismack gets into foul trouble, which has been known to happen, as long as they stay in, like, out of foul trouble, the two of them, they're going to split the minutes pretty evenly. And if that's the case, then Vucevic is too overpriced for me in a slower paced game. Because it just he's a better play DFS wise in faster up paced tempo games. And of course you've got the Bismack Biyombo revenge narrative going on here.
Once upon a time.
Yeah, once upon a time after what was it, before Toronto, you've got that ability, but I made the mistake of making Kemba Walker the number one point guard play of the night on Monday, and I should have known better because it was on the road, even though it was Brooklyn. Now, I did put a disclaimer in there that saying even though he's on the road, it is against Brooklyn, who gives up a ton of fantasy points. But we saw Nick Batum just go absolutely completely bananas again. And we saw Michael Kidd-Gilchrist have a really, really good game again. And we saw Marvin Williams, who started out really, really slow, kind of salvage his game again. And I think that for the Charlotte Hornets, your targets are Batum, Micah Kidd-Gilchrist, and then Kemba Walker. And the only way I go to Kemba is if I'm doing a full game stack.
Indeed, yeah. Charlotte really came with a kind of a team approach there on Monday night. 40 points in that first quarter against the Nets. It was incredible. They the Nets had some pretty good contesting on a lot of these shots. They were just going in, but certainly I find that to be the norm though with Charlotte. They got a very talented team, so I'm not surprised by
it. Yeah, and they're playing a lot better team defense than they are individual wise. So.
Yeah, but Jeremy Lin, yeah. All right, let's get to the next one. We've got the Milwaukee Bucks at the Detroit Pistons. Pistons 3-point favorites in this one with the minuscule money line at -150. Total has jumped up 4 points. It is currently at 201.5. It began at 197.5. Let's see. We got Mirza Teletovic, Rashad Vaughn, Steve Novak, all questionable for the Bucks, and Reggie Bullock is out, but he's been out since Reggie Bullock was born, so that's okay. Where are we looking here?
Jabari Parker.
Jabari Duke. All right.
Sorry. I had to give your Dukies a little love after the other night.
Sorry, Jabari?
Exactly. Jabari Parker is... he's taken a step forward as far as offensively, and I actually have to say I'm kind of impressed with it. It is been very, very nice. Him and Giannis work really, really good in the pick and roll together. It's been a lot of fun kind of watching these guys kind of go at each other or go work with each other. Here's the issue, though, I have with it. He's kind of in that no man's no man lands game or range. Sure. As far as price, he's 6,800. I can get Nikola Jokic in a higher pace game for 200 more. I can go down to, like I said, Serge Ibaka. So he's kind of in that range where I really like Jabari Parker. But I think in this game, I'm just... yeah. this almost might be a stay away game for me completely, and that includes Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's the lowest total on the board. There's just a lot of other places I'd rather attack. Unless some stuff really, really opens up, I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's a fair assessment. Again, Jabari Parker, probably my favorite matchup from the Bucks, more so than Antetokounmpo. I think Stan Van Gundy will have something for him. And also, too, you know, we got to look at Detroit playing the fourth slowest pace in the league. That'll certainly hurt the Greek as well. I would probably be more apt to look at things on the Detroit side of things. I don't mind, we're talking about going with Jabari Parker, but we can also attack him on the defensive end as well. So maybe a little Tobias Harris, even a John Luehr, getting real crazy down at the low end of the spectrum. And, Andre Drummond, not terrible for this matchup, and also KCP. So I would probably take little pieces of the Pistons. Boy, that sounded tremendously manly. Little pieces of the Pistons. That would probably be my target from this one. But, yeah, that Jabari Parker price is kind of making things a little out of reach. So,
yeah, I the only thing I really want in this game is Tobias Harris. He's been playing a lot better since coming off the bench. I guess he tried to start playing like he needed to start again, but Stan Van Gundy's going to hold his ground, as he should.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it'll be tough to move him. What? Fat joke. Okay.
Yeah.
We got the New York Knicks at the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Hawks, 3-point favorites in this one, -150 on the money line. Got a nice little total of 212.5 here. A couple of injury notes, Courtney Lee and Maurice Noir are questionable for this one. Thiago Splitter's out for the Hawks, and Tim Hardaway Jr. is questionable for them as well. Decent matchup here to go to. Now, probably one of the better pace games of the night, where you got the Knicks at 12, Hawks at 8. Knicks really struggling on the defensive end. But that's okay, because both teams can get targeted from this one. The Hawks, yeah, they have the 8th best defensive efficiency rating in the NBA. But, I mean, that's a bit of a drop from where this team was. This team was the top-rated defensive team at one point this season, but certainly hasn't gone that way of late. I would not mind targeting Kristaps Porzingis in this game. Yes, I know we're going to... or he's going to be fighting for touches with Melo and Rose, who both have pretty good matchups themselves. But again, we've seen stretch fours just do absolute damage against the Hawks this season. For whatever reason, Millsap being lazy, trying to get out there to the perimeter, has not worked out for the Hawks. So I could certainly see Porzingis being our guy. And then, Derrick Rose, I know we're kind of paying up to be a little... not even necessarily safe, but at least to get us to a respectable point total. I guess we could look at him as the little version of Marcin Gortat, where the point totals haven't been embarrassing by any stretch, but the upside kind of gets clipped off. So I don't mind either of those two guys. I think Melo's certainly in play as well. But what do you think about the Knicks?
I'm trying to decide if Derrick Rose is worth attacking tonight. 38, 36, 26 minutes, his last three. We know Dennis Schroeder is not good defense, is not good at stopping point guards. I have a little bit of interest in Rose. I have a lot of interest in Kristaps Porzingis, but that's really about it. Just because I think half of the time that Melo's on the floor, he's going to be guarded by Thabo. And where, 5 years ago, we could look at, Melo versus Thabo and say Melo's an elite guy. He's not the same elite guy. If he gets hot, then he can still kind of put up big games. You know, he's going to be right around that 30 to 45 range. We haven't seen this matchup this year, so it's not like it's we got a lot to go off of. I really, really think that Derrick Rose might be the play to go to tonight. I'm just having it doesn't sit well with me pulling the trigger on Derrick Rose, but it's not like point guard is with Damian Lillard and Chris Paul out. It's not or you know, a game time decision. It's not like point guard is very loaded tonight. So like I said, I'm having a hard time paying up. So that leads me to guys like, you know, Elfrid Payton and Derrick Rose. So sure, we're right there in that mid tier. And that'll allow me to stay away from guys like Austin Rivers, who I think is going to be highly popular. That'll allow me to stay away from guys like, you know, Raymond Felton, and I can go to other value plays at other positions. So,
yeah, I could see myself pulling the ultimate twist here, where going Marcin Gortat and Derrick Rose, since I mentioned them in the same sentence. I just feel like it could work. We'll see. We'll see.
I can't believe it's that type of night.
Yeah, I'm getting twisted here. All right, so for the Hawks side of things, I think probably Schroeder's probably the best matchup. Then just in terms of, you know, one-on-one play here, although, you know, Dwight Howard against Joakim Noah, that could end up very poorly for the man bun. I don't know, where do you land on those guys?
No. They kind of eat into each other. I mean, O'Quinn played 13 minutes last game. Noah played 28.
I'm not talking about going. I'm talking about the Hawks for that one.
I mean, Dwight Howard's been kind of nice, except for the fact that he freaking popped his own boy in the face the other night.
Casualties of war.
Yeah, casualties of war. I don't know if I can pay $8,000 for a guy that only played 21 minutes. Maybe that game was a little bit more out of hand than I thought. Let's see here. What day did they play?
I think it was. I think it was pretty ugly.
They played on the 26th. So let's look here. Yeah, they were getting ran out of the building. It was in Minnesota. They got beat by 14. So, I mean, maybe. But I don't know if I want to pay $8,000 for Dwight Howard.
Fair enough. I mean, you got some small pieces, Bazemore, Korver, Cephalosha.
I think Cephalosha is great in cash.
Okay. This is the Knicks defense, so.
Yeah, although I prefer Michael Gilchrist for a little bit less. But I think, you know, Thabo's been putting up pretty consistent games. He hurt you against Charlotte last time out. Or not last time out, but, you know, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, with that little 8-point fiasco of his. But, you know, 31, 24, 19, 24, I mean, that's not going to kill you for, you know, $4,500, $4,600. So, Schroeder, I mean, he's interesting. It's just not a lot to really, really get excited about.
Sure.
I mean, I was on Schroeder last game. I'll probably go back to him this game in a lineup, $6,800. He only played 23 minutes and absolutely completely sucked. I thought it was a great matchup against Ricky Rubio defense, and that whole Hawks team just with this team, it's a Jekyll and Hyde scenario. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to actually if the team performs well, then usually there's a lot of fantasy goodness to go around. If the team sucks, then they suck. And we're going to get duds by every single one of them. So,
Indeed, indeed. All right, this game's making me feel a little queasy in my stomach, so let's get to one that'll make me feel even more queasy. But my Brooklyn Nets are in Chicago tonight. Bulls, 9-point favorites in this one, -475 on the money line. That is the third highest favorite of the night. Total, 212.5 in this one. Doesn't look like a good outlook here for the Nets. Jeremy Lin's questionable. He re-injured that hammy on Monday night. You also got, for the Bulls, you got Doug McDermott.
He's been ruled out.
Questionable. He has? All right. Yep. So there goes that. Okay. All right. So one of the interesting – we'll start out with the Nets because fuck the Bulls. One of the interesting things that I saw from that game – in person on Monday night, Bojan Bogdanović with the second unit was absolutely outstanding.
Dan, you said that, and I wanted to look into this one.
So, so they throw Joe Harris there starting at the two, which I did, you know, I got the alert before the game. I said, all right, I'm not terribly, you know, I'm not over anxious about this one. But, Bojan Bogdanović, you know, he's much better when he's able to create his own shot instead of waiting for other people to create a shot. And, you know, you kind of saw that with the numbers where Jeremy Lin was in the lineup. You know, Bogdanović's usage rate was absolutely terrible, but, you know, without Lin in there, he does much better. So, yeah, the fact when he's relied on a lot more is where he is the best. So if we see this game get out of hand, which it probably could, I mean, these two teams face each other the first or second week of the season. Bulls won by 30, and it wasn't even close at any point during the game.
Yeah, but that's when the Bulls were actually good.
Yeah, they're still pretty good. I'm not going to totally clobber them over the head.
Yeah, but see, we say this with the Nets, and they come out every once in a while, and they play hard, they play good, they put up a ton of shots, there's a lot of fantasy goodness, yeah, but they allow a ton of stuff as well. But, you know, I mean, how many times have we really been hurt by the Nets getting blown out of the building? Not a lot this year. Compared to what Vegas wants us to believe, by putting them as double-digit dogs almost every single damn game, they don't get blown out a lot. I mean, I could be wrong, and I'm looking at it. Trust me, I'm going back right now and looking. I could be wrong.
But they did have a brutal stretch earlier where they had to play Golden State and Cleveland back-to-back nights. That kind of threw everything in a cast. But yeah, we had the stat last week where it was, you know, when the Nets are double digit underdogs, they were 6-2, I believe, going into that back to back set with Cleveland and the Warriors. And
is
hell, even against the Warriors,
that full
against the spread.
Okay.
Cause they barely have 6 wins on the season. So
I see 6 right here. But I mean, okay, they were double-digit dogs against the Clippers. They won in double overtime. Let's see here. They've beat the Lakers. They've beaten the Nuggets. I'm sure they were
Blake
dogs.
No Blake Griffin that game.
I don't care. They still had Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan. You know, they just beat the Hornets. Granted, it took a, you know, Randy Foy miracle shot. So. But, I mean, they were still in that game. Let's see. For the Golden State game, they lost by 16. But for 3.5 quarters, they were in that game. We knew that they were going to get blown out by Cleveland because that was a back end of a back-to-back. And, you know, you're playing the two top teams in the NBA. So we kind of figured that. Now, granted, they've had some bad losses. They've lost by 1 to the Sixers, you know. But, I mean, if you go through and you look at their schedule, I mean, besides – what I'm saying is through 3.5 quarters, these guys can compete. They just don't know how to really finish games yet. I'm not saying that they're going to win, but I'm not saying that we should really be worried about them getting blown out because it just doesn't happen a lot until like the end of the game. So, I mean, that's what it seems like. It seems like every time that, you know, we sit there and we're saying like, oh, well, this is going to be a blowout, like, we're getting 3.5 quarters at least out of these guys. And this is one of the reasons why we don't predict blowouts in the DFS Army, is because if everything is telling us to predict a blowout and fade this whole game and just go on, I can't do it. I mean, you said the Bojan Bogdanovic thing the other day, and I looked at it, and it's true. And we've seen this a lot this year. Guys that are getting usage rates with the second team are absolutely just crushing. And I love Bojan Bogdanovic as a cheaper play. He's a great pivot off of guys like MKG. He's got the upside in tournaments that I want to look for. I love it. I mean, there's thoughts in my head about paying down at both small forward positions and going with an MKG and a Bojan. I understand he's going against it matches up to go against Jimmy Butler, but you know, he's a low owned tournament play that I think we can really take advantage of today.
Yes, indeed. Now, I think the main guy I look at, you know, if we're talking about starting unit and all that, Sean Kilpatrick, Brooke Lopez, both of these guys. I mean, look, Brooke against his brother. I've witnessed the 50-point game. You know, it's interesting, too, now that I think about it, the Nets have actually done pretty well in Chicago over the last couple seasons. Here's my issue, though. If the Nets have a starting backcourt of Isaiah Whitehead and Joe Harris, this could get ugly, like, real quick. So I don't know. I kind of want to see what happens with the starting lineup and what other players do in this game, what rotation they're going to be involved in. But I don't know. I would probably be more apt to look at the Bulls side of things here. I mean, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, all these guys are in line to just do a massive crush job tonight. You even got Robin Lopez, Taj Gibson, who could do some big things. Taj Gibson, the last time these two played, absolutely just manhandled Trevor Booker. Nikola Mirotic is a guy that's been doing some dirt lately. So, yeah, there's plenty of options to look at from the Bulls.
Yeah, I don't play Rajon Rondo. We all know this. I would rather play myself against the Brooklyn Nets.
Definitely go with Rondo over you.
I can play some Rajon Rondo type basketball. I can sit there and I can dish and I can play some questionable D and steal the ball every once in a while and hit 25% of my free throws and hit a jumper every once in a while. And if I get hot,
I'm still
watch
going
out.
With Rondo.
If Rondo's the guy that beats me, then Rondo's the guy that beats me. I'm not really worried about it. Because whatever Rondo does, especially if Rondo's chalk, if Rondo ends up being chalk, then, I'm in full fade mode. He just doesn't do it for me. I do like I am a little bit interested in the Brolo versus Rolo love here. I wonder if Rolo's going to try to decapitate his brother like he did Al Jefferson and who the Charlotte guys the other day. I forgot who it was.
Kaminsky and Zeller. Hibbert. It's not fluffy.
Like
he's a big man in person, Hibbert.
Oh,
my
yes,
goodness.
He is. I'm not going to advocate against Sean Kilpatrick, but it seems like every time I play him, I'm the guy that gets like the 13.2, the 7.7. game, the 9.3. I think those are the three games, the last three times I've rostered him, that's what I've got out of him. So I'm not going to advocate against it. It's just not some place I'm probably going to go. I wouldn't be surprised if Dwayne Wade sits. If he plays, I like it. I like it a lot. He's been playing very, very well, but I wouldn't be surprised if he sits. And then, of course, Jimmy Butler's in play as well. So.
Yeah.
Butler hasn't been playing that well. When you're playing 39, 39, 36, 40 minutes, and this is a guy that normally averages close to a fantasy point per minute, and he has yet to clip 40 in his last one, two, three, four, five, six, seven games. I mean, his last seven games, he hasn't even hit 40. I think he's overpriced at 8,500. I would rather play Kawhi Leonard.
Well, you know what the greatest cure for all ills is?
The Brooklyn Nets defense?
You got it, my friend. Then, hey, don't poo-poo this Nikola Mirotic thing either, because we all know the Nets' worst three-point defense in the league. So, again, if this thing gets handily, or if this thing gets if it gets sloppy, we could probably see more Mirotic time. We've seen Mirotic play a ton of minutes these last two games, too. So,
yep.
Definitely look into that one. All right, let's get on to meaningful basketball once again. We've got the LA Clippers at the New Orleans Pelicans here. Interesting line here, as the Pelicans are favored by 5. We've got a -215 on the money line, and we've got the total there at 204.5. That massive spread right there probably means that Chris Paul won't play again, but could that be big things for Anthony Davis, who in his career against the LA Clippers hasn't done that well, but you know, with Blake Griffin listed out, obviously he's going to be out for a while, but without Blake Griffin in the lineup, we should see AD pretty much do whatever he wants in this one.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit on Monday. Over the last, like, 5 or 6 games since Blake's been out, power forwards versus the Clippers has been a thing. I think they're averaging close to around 53 fantasy points per game to opposing power forwards. And now you've got a guy that is going to be able to attack DeAndre Jordan and that weakness right there in the middle pretty hard. I mean, Anthony Davis is by far and away my top projected player of the day, and it's not even, I mean, I guess it's a little close with the Marcus Cousins, but it's not like it's a huge swing, or, you know, it's, Anthony Davis doesn't make it into what I would consider my core very much, just because of his ability to go out and just absolutely become a glass house again.
How about this one? Because of his ability to have inability. Oh. I think I just broke the internet.
There's a lot of abilities. DeAndre Jordan has said that he will play tonight versus New Orleans. I didn't know that was a question, but okay. That just came across Twitter.
He just wants to throw it out there, just in, you know, just because Chris Paul and Blake Griffin probably won't be there.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'll be there. Don't worry.
I have interest in DeAndre Jordan. It sucks because he's always low owned, and he's always, his price is getting to where I don't really want to play him anymore. But I know he's going to be low-owned because you can go to Plumlee or Vucevic for cheaper, or Pau Gasol, or you can go to Brook Lopez, DeAndre Drummond, Dwight Howard for cheap for more. He's kind of always in that middle range, and he's usually pretty pretty low-owned. It's just he doesn't have the upside like he normally does in years past. I mean, I don't buy into Austin Rivers' revenge game, because I don't play Austin Rivers, because Austin Rivers is not a very good basketball player. He's another one of those guys that I don't chase, because if he's the guy that beats me, then I just tip my hat to the people that play the hot chalk. You know, 27 points is not going to beat me in tournaments. 33 points is not going to beat me in tournaments. Now, if we go back to the Oklahoma City game from last year, where he popped off like a career high 42 points, yeah, that's gonna beat me. But the odds of that happening are not conducive to, especially the fact that he's a point guard. I mean, I can play Emmanuel Mudiay, Ty Lawson. I can go down to Tim Frazier. I would rather play, as long as we get the clean bill of health on Raymond Felton, I'd rather play him. He's gonna be lower owned tonight, just because he was 65% owned the other night, and he kind of shit the bed. So I'd rather play Raymond Felton than Austin Rivers, and I have.
Sure.
I just, it, I mean, and for all the for those that are saying it's Austin Rivers' revenge game, don't forget this is a Chris Paul revenge game too. And Chris Paul's a little bit better at basketball than Austin Rivers.
So. Just a tad. Now, we had some news come across on the Slack chat there. I kind of reaffirming what we already thought, but noted that Chris Paul is unlikely to play, and then J.J. Redick is also unlikely to play. So I think that puts a massive, yep, you just wrote it there too, Jamal Crawford in play right there. So, yeah. That's certainly going to be a great area to attack. New Orleans, you know, for a while this season, I mean, recently, I think the defense hasn't been as great as it was, but New Orleans defense improved a lot overall at the beginning of this season, but I think we're starting to see them come back down to earth here recently. But again, the fact that the Pelicans are this big of favorites, I think that just means that we're going to see a Clippers B team tonight. And I'm okay with that because I really like some Anthony Davis tonight, as we mentioned. And, you know, hell, I mean, let's not even forget about Jrue Holiday, Tim Frazier, guys like that, especially going up against lesser defenders in the Clippers. This could bode very well for some fantasy value tonight.
Yeah.
Well, the value won't be with Holiday, but you know what I mean.
What's the – if there was – Tyreek Evans is at 5,500 on FanDuel. Okay. If Alvin Gentry was to come across and say, we are now giving a minutes restriction to Tyreek Evans of 24 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be interested?
Would I be interested? No.
With Tyreek Evans at 24 minutes at 5,500?
Yeah, no.
Okay, if. What would have to be the minutes restriction for you to have interest there?
There'd have to be no minutes restriction.
At 5,500 for Tyreek Evans?
Yeah.
You're crazy, yo. You're crazy, man.
You cray. No, why? When I can go get Jamal Crawford far cheaper, who we know is going to play a boatload of minutes tonight.
Pair them up against each other.
No. I don't want to pair him up. I want to pair him with somebody else. I want to pair him with somebody who possibly won't
you don't
be in the race
like
by the end of the evening. I love ping pong. Especially in opium dens. But still, we're not talking about that now. We're talking about playing healthy players. Okay? I don't need to go to Tyreek Evans.
Okay.
No.
I was just asking.
God, no. Don't try to dupe me down a dark alley. Don't do it.
I'm not.
Especially in New Orleans. That's a bad place to be in a dark alley.
I'm sure
a couple of our listeners can attest to. We're in that demographic. All right. Well, let's move it along, shall we?
Hey, yes, this is your rodeo. I'm just living in it.
Glad you agree. All right. Phoenix Suns at the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs, 15-point favorites in this one. Largest money line favorite of the day at minus 3,000. We got a total here of 215 as well. The Suns playing the second fastest pace in the league up against the Spurs' fifth slowest pace in the league. Certainly doesn't look too good for the Suns tonight, but let's try to make some goodness out of this, shall we? Alrighty then.
Alrighty. Yeah, we just saw this game it was about 2 weeks ago in Phoenix.
Sure.
Spurs won 107-92. I have interest in Kawhi Leonard, obviously. Maybe a little bit of Pau Gasol if he plays. That's kind of my interest.
The 40-point man all of a sudden?
Who, Danny Green?
No.
Dwayne Dedman?
No, he's part of our friend's name. Our
Marcus
big money
Aldridge?
Winner's name. Oh, yeah. 49.8, 44.3 in back-to-back games. Even a game against Houston. Over a week ago, 38.5.
I guess, and if you're making multiple teams, yeah, I don't mind it. I just feel like maybe at his price, what is he over on DraftKings? Because he's 7,000 on FanDuel, and then Let's see here. On DraftKings, he is a cool, calm, and collected 69. I don't know. I guess it depends on what I expect his ownership percentage to be. If he's going to be chalk, then no, I don't. Playing a little game theory, because I can go to Serge Ibaka. I can go to, you know, like I said, Jabari Parker, Tobias Harris. You know, I can go to a guy that we're going to get to a little bit later. I can go to Draymond. I mean, I can go to a lot of these guys for a little bit cheaper and maybe get a different ownership percentage and possibly get the same amount of upside or, you know, value out of them. So if I feel his ownership is going to be inflated because of the recent good games, then no. But if not, then, yeah, I don't mind it. It's all an ownership percentage thing with me, with him. What do you think of the Phoenix Suns here? Because I've got a little bit of interest here, and I want to hear what your idea might be.
I've got one piece of interest, probably Devin Booker here.
Okay.
You know, we've seen the shooting guards do well against the Spurs, and you know, Booker himself just did pretty well against the Spurs not too long ago. So he seems like he's kind of putting some things together recently. He's the one I feel the most comfortable in, although, geez, we're going to see all sorts of GT in this one, it looks like. Yeah, so probably Booker for me. Upon further review later, I'll get back to you.
Yeah, it's Booker. I don't have a lot of words against Eric Bledsoe. I think this is still a spot I want to attack, and I did the last time, but it didn't really work out. That's about it's about it right now.
Okay.
So shout out to Cade's dad, says that no shiny figurines or bobbleheads going out today, but it is a Big John Henson birthday today.
Oh boy.
He's a
UNC alum. He can go to hell. Whoa, hot take.
Yeah, but we've got the narrative there. He does play about 20 to 25 minutes now. Yeah.
Hey, you know, for as many times as the birthday hometown narrative has worked this season, it has not. Now, the figurine bobblehead, that is something that could never.
Yeah, we pay more attention to figurine bobbleheads than we do birthdays.
Be shot down. I'm just saying, birthdays, you could be out popping Chris the night before and just absolutely drop a dud. So
yeah, birthdays are more for like point guards and shooting guards than they are for big men.
Sure, people don't go out, they're like, oh, we got the bobblehead tonight or tomorrow night, let's go celebrate tonight. You know, that's not how it works. So just be aware of these things. All right, let's get to what do we got here. I'm pretty set on that Sun Spurs game. You?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fantastic. All right, let's get to probably one of the best fantasy games of the evening. The Minnesota Timberwolves at the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets 4-point favorites in this one with a -175 money line total. Our 217 total in this game is the second highest of the night. Plenty of goodness here. By the way, Timberwolves, such a talented team, such a shitty basketball team. Denver ain't playing defense. Minnesota ain't playing defense. I mean, we got both of these teams that are in the bottom third of defensive efficiency in the league, and then you got, you know, the Timberwolves, who ranked 10th in offensive efficiency, Nuggets, and 13th in offensive efficiency. You can kind of inflate those numbers tonight based on what both of these teams do on defense. You know, Nuggets run the 7th fastest pace. That's certainly going to pace up the Timberwolves in this game. We could throw a dart at this game and land on something good.
Yeah, Will Barton, Nikola Jokic. I mean, I think Emmanuel Moody is in a good spot. Gary Harris is a nice candidate for a bounce back after the other night. I mean, and that's just on the Denver side. Although Will Barton being hot is actually kind of cut into Gary Harris a little bit. But he's still a good candidate. I mean, you got Danilo Gallinari who's playing better. Wilson Chandler. Yeah, for those of you that want to know Wilson Chandler, he's playing 29 minutes. But that was not a spot to pick on it. I think we can kind of go back there for here. If you're making multiple teams in large field tournaments, then you can kind of mix in and sprinkle in your exposure there. I mean, the only people I wouldn't play are Yusuf Nurkic and Kenan Faried. I think everybody else is kind of in play, except for Jameer Nelson and Jamal Murray. They're kind of cannibalizing each other. The point guard that I would play most likely is probably Emmanuel Mudiay, although I don't feel comfortable about it, even though he's 4,800.
God, no. Yeah, you got plenty of things to go there. I can't even make a bad case for anybody on Denver in terms of basketball. If they don't, it's going to be in terms of minutes. We'll break that down a lot later. Not in the podcast, but on the Slack channel. So in terms of the Timberwolves, I think we got a pretty set core five that we can look at. Core four, I guess, if we take away Gorgui Dieng. Look, I mean, we've seen Ricky Rubio do some great things here of late. Again, he's going to get paced up. He's going to have a fantastic matchup. We know we take point guards against the Denver Nuggets. It's clockwork. So why should we stop tonight?
We shouldn't. Look, Ricky Rubio, and if Rajon Rondo was in the same spot, I would say the same thing. Look, they're the same player. One's just a little bit more likable than the other one. Neither one of them, I think, are great basketball players, but they can be productive fantasy-wise. If you had to give me one to play tonight, it would be the guy in the better matchup, I believe, in Ricky Rubio. However, I would rather go to guys like Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine. Ricky Rubio is probably fourth or fifth on my list of play of Minnesota Timberwolves. Obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, they're the top three. You can make it a argument for Gorgui Dieng. You can make and then it would be the Ricky Rubio show. So I think Ricky Rubio is great as far as game stacks are concerned. But those are the ones that I'd be looking at.
Only 5,800 on FanDuel today. Good Lord. Everything you just said there, I pretty much would have echoed. So you got no argument for me. All right, let's get to our next game here. Sacramento Kings at the Portland Trailblazers. Sacramento, the 2.5-point favorite here, and that is because Damian Lillard is doubtful for this game. We'll get to that in a second, but minuscule money line for the Kings here, -140. And we've got a total of 207.5, which is dropped 3.5 points from 211, probably because of that Damian Lillard news. I wouldn't doubt it. All right, so let's start with the Blazers here. When Damian Lillard is out, you see Alan Crabb, CJ McCollum, and Evan Turner get the biggest boost in production. These are the three guys that play the most minutes when Lillard's off the court. They, by far, have the most points, most shot attempts, all of the above. CJ McCollum's usage rate, that goes to 32.1%.
Because now, he runs the point.
Indeed. And Crabb and Turner's usage rates don't go up, but they see plenty of time, plenty of everything. So I wouldn't totally, discredit them just on usage rate alone. So, yeah, these are the three guys that I'm going to be looking at. Obviously, Plumlee's in the mix too, but where you land on those, on all those guys?
I think you just named all four that I have interest in. Crabb is almost a lock for me right now tonight at 3,600. His shot attempts go up with Lillard out of the lineup. CJ McCollum, that was the first little point guard or shooting guard combo I put in on FanDuel, because now I'm getting a point guard at the shooting guard position. We always know I love playing that. And then you're getting Crabb, who's just at a, he, I mean, he's $3,600 going against Sacramento, which is never a bad thing to pick on point or shooting guards for. Then you've got guys like Evan Turner, which I can't remember is... Okay. Both he's the cheaper of the Mo Harkless Evan Turner kind of combination, but I still like them. I don't even mind Maurice Harkless here. And then of course our biggest he's getting up there in price, but I still love playing him and just continue to kind of plug him in tournaments, and he continues to be under 10% owned most nights is Mason Plumlee. And as a late night hammer, as consistent as he can be, he's not somebody that that I really have a problem playing.
No, not at all. Now, to remember, there's a little bit of revenge narrative here with Boogie Cousins for the Kings against Myles Leonard. These two guys absolutely hate each other. And while Leonard's probably not going to be on the court that much, I think it could still fire up Boogie a bit. So, you know, don't dismiss him tonight. And, Rudy Gay, not a bad option. I think there's only the only guy questionable for Sacramento is Aaron Aflalo. So, definitely. And then, you know, Portland, worst defense in the league. So, shouldn't be scared to go there. These guys did just play, I believe it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, and Sacramento had a nice come-from-behind victory. Hell of a game, too.
Yeah, that was a dominating performance by Boogie, too.
Yes, sir. All right, I think we have one more game to get to here. Toronto Raptors at the Golden State Warriors. Warriors 10-point favorites in this game, minus 525 on the money line. And we have our highest total in this one at 225. Where are we looking here?
Kevin Durant, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. I mean, you've got your Fantastic Four. I think they're all good plays. You got Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Patrick Patterson's a little bit interesting because he's been playing some of the three. You know, when DeMar Carroll comes out, I mean, I'm probably not going to go there, but I guess if you're playing the late slate, then you can. I would much rather play guys like Al-Farouq Aminu than Patrick Patterson, just because I would rather go against the likes of Rudy Gay rather than the likes of Draymond Green. So, I mean, I guess Jonas Valanciunas has got to be in the conversation, right?
Sure. I'm a big Joe Val fan.
I think his price is a little bit too high to get the 6-7x that we really, really are looking for in tournaments. But, I mean, the only way that I think Jonas doesn't reach value and pay off his salary is if Toronto is forced to go small because Golden State goes really small.
True. So,
and that means that Toronto's actually staying in the game and being somewhat effective, which I think they can be, but I don't know. Toronto's not the same defensive team that they were last year, so I don't know if they can, you know, really, really, really do a lot.
Interesting to note that Golden State's defensive efficiency has gone all the way up to second now in the NBA. So this should be interesting. We got the number one and two offensive efficiency teams. So you got Toronto at number one, Golden State at number two, and then Golden State there, number two, defensive efficiency.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they've given up some big games here recently.
I think a lot of the you know, I think their starting unit is starting to become a lot better defensive-wise. I think it's when you see guys like Patrick McCaw and, you know, I mean, JaVale McGee's got a lot to do with that. It's really – they're doing a lot better. They are doing a lot better. I will say that. So –
I mean, I gotta take a look at this, though. You know, in their last three games, the Warriors have given up 101 to the Nets, 113 to the Pistons, and then 109 on Christmas Day to the Cavs. That's okay, though. I'm not too worried about them. All right, they'll do it for us today on today's podcast. Tomorrow is going to be much quicker. I believe there's only six games to do. Yes, so only six on tomorrow's slate. So got the TNT games and all that. So that should be a lot of fun. You guys want to follow us on Twitter? Follow me at 14a.walsh, and then Keith will be over there on or at Boomers DFS Daddy. So definitely give us the follow there on Twitter. And if you're not a member of the DFS Army, definitely go to our website, dfsarmy.com. Use the promo code podcast. Get yourself off 20% each month. And that's all I got to say. Any closing words?
Nope. Congratulations again to LaMarcus Aldridge. Maybe yep. He can back it up with a back-to-back good nights. Or even better, maybe somebody else in the DFS Army can back it up with back-to-back good nights. So.
Yeah, no pressure, anyone, you know, no pressure at all.
None at all. So.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Peace.